All right. So here we are, lawyer talk off the record. Jeff is sitting down.
Putting the old headphones on.
You got the headphones. See, this is not your ordinary podcast. This is a professional podcast, one that requires headsets.
Yeah.
See, in radio, they call those headsets.
I feel super cool because I was using, like, I guess Walkman. Like, you hooked me up because now I got the things that wrap around my entire head. I feel like I'm on the radio.
Yeah, I'm taking them back, though.
I get it. They're probably expensive, but I'm borrowing them. So now I really feel like a podcaster.
Sennheiser
headset. I don't know what the term is, though, because I saw another guy. Hopefully he's going to be on the show. He's Ohio Verse the World is his podcast. Alex Hasty, awesome guy. Great podcast if you want to tune into that. But we were talking the other day. I think he said you guys are podding. I think podding is the millennial, well, whatever the cool hip term is.
Yeah, we cast here.
We're casters. I like that better.
We cast. Because I like to fish. I like to fish. I cast. I'm a caster.
Yeah. So I guess we're casting. What are we talking about today?
Here's what we're going to do. We are going to do.
This is another Friday. This is the Friday session, though. Do we do DUI? We got a Friday going on right
You know
now.
What? I've been, it's sunny. I've been itching to do it. We're going to tie it into Friday. We're going to tie it into sunny. We're going to tie it into DUI 360.
Yet another.
And this is the series for all of those who are tuning in late in the DUI 360 ongoing, maybe perpetual saga that deals with all issues drunk driving. And those could be funny stories, as we've experienced. Those could be real legal issue type of things. Those could be what you should do, what you shouldn't do, what they will do to you, what they cannot do to you. How to get yourself in more trouble, how to get yourself in less trouble. What other hyperbole can I use here? Mm. Is that the right word?
Well, that's why it's DUI 360.
It's 360, right? It's a 360 revolving complete circle of all potential issues one might encounter with DUIs.
All right. So what's the?
We have talked about the big question.
Blow or not to blow.
Right.
Got that one in the bag.
But there's a better question. One that people don't often ask, one that people often should, instead of the big question, they should ask the other question. Let me see.
I think I know what it is.
Let me drop some.
I didn't know if I should let would, you. Do you want me to guess it?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Well, it's not yet. Let's give it another analogy. So the big question was about the French test.
Yeah, we had the French test.
Right. So you wouldn't go take the French test.
Yeah.
Particularly with, you wouldn't do it because you didn't study French. Would you go play a one-on-one game against Michael Jordan?
I would love to.
For money?
No.
For your freedom?
Well, I'd probably play for...
How about this? If you lose to Michael Jordan in one-on-one, you have to go to jail for 3 days.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, you'd say no all day long. No way. Or let me see a better way to put it. That's as good as any.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to... What you're getting at is you're not going to endure such a task when you know the downside is monumental to your life. I don't want to go to jail for 3 days.
Right.
Why would I sign up to play one of the best basketball players of all time knowing I'm going to lose and I cannot win? And he's 6'8 or 6'9 or whatever.
Whatever. He's quicker than lightning. He can make everything.
I'm 200 pounds now. I'm 35 years old. I don't work out enough. It's like, why would I ever try to, even at Michael Jordan's age, try to play him one-on-one.
And this is in a lot of ways, sort of like the French test. I mean, or maybe this is it. If somebody asked you.
Look at that dude.
What do we got?
You got a little mullet coming through the parking lot.
I don't know what, that's almost a top knot. Anyway, we've got, if somebody asked you to go, here's what we're talking about. If you're not real sure about your coordination, you're not real sure about your balance.
You're not real sure.
Yeah, you're not a gym. You're not Mary Lou Redden.
Yep. You haven't walked a balance beam anytime recently.
When's the last time you actually got on a balance beam?
Yeah.
And took a stroll.
Yep. Or gone out to your local train tracks and
walked on a railroad tie. Walked on a railroad. I mean, when's the last time you did that? When's the last time you just for kicks, no pun intended, held one foot in the air.
Yeah.
When's the last time you did that?
Yeah.
When's the last time you started the alphabet at P and took her home?
Yeah.
And when's the last time you did all those things while drunk and while under the gun?
Under the gun.
Literally.
Late at night.
Metaphorically.
Yeah.
And actually.
And it sounds kind of easy now sitting there and talking about it. Like right now we could do 68 to 42. Count it backwards, sir. You know, 68, 67.
It would take 66. Me a second
to think. But even now, it's a little nerve-wracking. But if you're drinking, oof.
Well, if you're drinking, let's say you're not drinking. I mean, if even sober, now, which is the dumbest thing you could possibly say, I couldn't do that sober. We get that all the time. Even sober, I don't know that I would be good under the gun like that. Some people are, some people aren't. Yeah. Some people sit on a block of ice and they can handle it. Some people not so much.
Yeah.
And unlike the French test, there is no consequence.
Right. There's no, you don't lose anything.
There's no mandatory. No,
there's no mandatory consequence. Yeah.
So let's just pose this. Let's just say this. I mean, everybody says I did to blow or not to blow. What did I do? So we're talking about even before, do you do the field sobriety test?
FSTs, we call it.
If you're in a
sobriety test in Ohio.
If you're in a cool club, you do the FSTs or you call it FSTs or SF.
Oh, yes. Standardized field sobriety
testing. Standardized field sobriety testing.
So what you're getting at, because we have another ultimate question. Do I do the field sobriety test or do I not? Right?
Yeah.
Because we just did blow or not to blow. So they're getting me out of my car. They want me to do these as I think Eric coined this, not coined it, but used it in motions, acrobatic tests. He successfully completed the acrobatic tests.
I would call them skill tests.
Yeah.
And juries. Yeah. He did the skill tests. He did the acrobatic test. He did the athletic ability test, the balance test, the whatever it is. So.
All right. So I guess we set the stage, right? You've been drinking.
So yeah, you've been drinking. So how many?
So let's say I've had.
Not that much.
Not that much.
Six.
Well, I know, but let's.
Function on six.
Well, here's where I think in our world right now, you have six beers. Cause when you say six beers, we're living in a little different time period.
Right, look, you're talking to me. I'm talking Busch Light.
Yeah. Six beers to you is Busch Light. So let's say I do what a lot of people I think do. It's Friday night. It's a beautiful day. We got patios with booze being served. So let's say I walk right over here out of this office. I walk into the local pub there and I say, what do you got on tap there? We had a long talk about this. It's like, hey, you know what? I've got the,
Bell's Too Hearted.
There you go. That's a great one. Bell's Too Hearted. I think Bell's Too Hearted is 7.5-8% alcohol.
So that's probably four.
That's probably two beers or if you're just drinking. And they're pouring you a pint. So they didn't hand it to me in a 12-ounce bottle. So we're probably easily at two beers for one of those.
I would say more than two, right? Because the Busch Light's less than three, right? Or is it maybe it's three and change?
3.8 or something.
For 12 ounces.
Yeah.
But I don't know about the volume. It's all by volume. So,
I sucked down two or three beers. I feel fine. I've been talking. I'm chatting. I had a little food. I said, great week this week. High five. I'm going to go into my family and I get in my car.
You suck down two of those. You feel it. I don't care who you are. You know it.
Well, I know, but let's sit for an hour. It's not that much. Well, you don't notice it.
It's not that much. That's what they're. All right. So say you do, say you don't. So now you're cruising home. It's 7 o'clock. You should have been home at 6 o'clock. Wife is pissed off. Kids. Going to jump all over you. You're tired, been working all day. So you're going to hammer a little bit faster.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go. Yeah. All right. 315 says 60, 55 through a whole chunk of it. And everybody flies 75 on it. So I'm just going to go with the flow of traffic and go 75. But lo and behold, it is not your lucky day.
Yeah. You're probably thinking is I got to get home because I got my obligations, but I got some beer in the fridge at home too, so I gotta get home to that.
Or you gotta make up time because you gotta stop on the way to pick up more beer.
Yeah.
Or
you know what you're thinking is not what your speedometer is. You're thinking, hey, I got that fridge in my garage. So what I'll do is I'll crack a beer when I'm coming through and I'll just tell the wife I had to work late and I didn't even drink.
This is the best.
I had to throw that in there. This is the one that educated me on that one.
This is the best thing you can possibly do. This is what you do. So anybody out there and
we'll come back to fields. This is a life lesson.
Anybody. Yeah. Right. Anybody out there ages X to Z.
Yeah.
Doesn't make or A to Z. It doesn't make any difference. You know who you are. You've got a significant other. Could be a woman, could be a man. You could be a wife, a husband, significant other, could be something I don't even know about.
Could be your mom.
Could be your mom. You got somebody at home who is not going to be happy that you've been drinking and driving. Or that you smell like a brewery. You smell like you're in the fermenting vat.
Yeah.
Of brewery.
And jumped in like in Beer Fest.
And you can say, yeah, but on lawyer talk, they said alcohol has no smell. But we all know that you walk into some place after consuming alcohol all day long, you smell like a brewery.
Yeah.
Right. So you got that smell and you're trying to be cool, just like you would be on the side of the road had you been pulled over. So you're trying to be cool, but you know, because you're a pro, that you smell like beer and you're late and you want to convince the other. That's just a meeting. Mm. I just had a meeting.
Yeah.
Just had late meeting.
Obligation.
A great one as a lawyer, conference call.
Yeah.
That works every – oh, sorry, I had a conference call.
Yeah, this conference call.
Nobody ever asks who the conference call's with. Nobody ever says, conference call. Oh, yeah, it must be important. Right. Yeah. Sorry, I had a conference call. So what you do, here's the trick. You keep a refrigerator in your garage stock full of beer because you want to make your other happy and say, listen, I am not – going to mess up and fill up our main refrigerator with my beer because that's not fair to you.
Yeah.
And I don't drink it that much anyway. So let's just keep it in this old fridge in the garage.
Yeah. Let's get a beer fridge.
Yeah. I mean, that's that way, you know, we can put our Powerades there and we can put our waters there and I'll just put some beer in there too.
Yeah. You mow in the grass. You need some little,
perfect.
Little beverage.
It's perfect. And that also, by the way, that way, when you are mowing the grass, you can have six. And then throw them out in the grass bags.
I haven't done that. But
you see?
I got it.
See where I'm going here?
All right.
It's like you're not recycling those. These are secrets. Yeah. Those are the secret empties. But it also works for this other purpose. So on your way in, you pull in, you try to be as straight as you can getting into the garage. Do not hit the wall.
Yeah.
And if you have any question about it, hang the tennis ball or put the little thing on the floor, whatever it takes. And on your way in, you just loop right by the fridge and grab a beer and crack it. Say, man, I've had a stressful day. I need this beer. And then you walk in with that beer in your hand and you're hiding in plain sight, man.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. That's man, the trick.
You smell like beer. I just started. I got one.
Yeah.
I just got this beer. All right.
I just took a big gulp. It's been a long day. That conference call went a little long.
The conference call lasted forever. Yeah. Man, I just wanted to be home with the kids. But now I am. I'm just going to sip this beer while I play in the garden with them.
Yeah.
Let's get the slip and slide out.
Yep. Yeah. Let's do it.
Cause it's sunny. So,
that's the life tip. I'm sure my wife will love hearing that little nugget. I don't have a fridge in the garage anymore though, but
this is like a long lost Uncle Johnny tip.
So let's go back to it. We don't make it home.
You don't make it home. So now your question is you hit the accelerator a little bit too heavy on 315, thinking it's 55, but it really, or thinking it's 65 and you're going to push it to 71 or two, but it's really 55. So now
you're changing the radio. You're
flipping
tech,
around.
He's trying to tell you, I'm on my way. I'm on my way.
OMW.
I've been there.
OMW, yeah. Baby. On my way. Or you got, you know, you got whatever it is you got going on. And, then you get the flashers and lo and behold, it's a City of Columbus police officer, maybe Barrett.
Oof.
Free
Officer
of patrol.
Barrett's a nice enough guy.
I like him.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Yeah.
But he patrols 350.
Well, he does his job. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. And he comes to the old window and you're thinking, all right, I had two Bell's Hearteds, maybe three.
Two old Bell's.
I mean, you're going to, this is like time crunching. Whenever you're late, you think I can be there by 7, knowing full well it takes 20 minutes to get there. It's already quarter till. You ain't going to make it, right?
My wife gets so mad at me for that. She'll be like, where are you at right now? And I always like advance where I'm at.
It's called crunching.
Like, yeah. It's like, oh yeah, I'm just taking our exit.
I got it
in a couple minutes. And she's just like, you were definitely not just taking that exit.
It's traffic.
Yeah.
A conference call.
Yeah.
So now you're thinking, all right, I was going to try to crunch those two Bell's Hearteds into, or three Bell's Hearteds into two when I talk to my wife or my husband. Can I get away with that with Columbus's finest?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You think you can.
Yeah.
So you say, no, I had a couple beers after work.
Everybody says two.
I had a couple beers after work. And he says, oh, that's interesting. Well, I got you going 72. Are you aware that this is a 55-mile-an-hour zone right around this hospital curve? And you're thinking, no, sir. Was not aware of that.
Be happy to take the moving violation and the points on my license, but let me go.
I'll never do it again.
Yep.
Now I know tomorrow I'm going 55 the whole way.
Yep.
Have you been drinking? Well, I had two beers. Well, all right. Well, okay. Why don't you step out of the car?
I mean, it's a done deal. So what I mean by done deal is you now have a significant feat in front of you if you hear, have you been drinking tonight?
As soon as
because if they are saying that, it don't matter if you say no, they're getting you out of the car and making, at least asking if you will comply and answer their questions.
Let's translate. Unless you happen to be charmed.
And you're apparently Jared Belinsky. Jared Belinsky runs charmed. Over bicycles and
right. Unless you're charmed. If you hear, have you been drinking?
And your name.
You should, if that's what they say, translate, you're going to be arrested.
Well, probably.
Yeah,
I mean, there are people that walk away. I get it. I had a guy in college, law school that drank and he probably drank too much. He got stopped and he did the whole gamut and they let him go.
Right. All right. So yeah, like I said, happens, unless you're charmed,
but
I would say out of 10 times you hear that question.
Maybe 9 out of 10.
Well, let me put it this way. If you're worried about that question, you're getting arrested.
Right. You shouldn't be driving.
All right. Now what do you do? So your heart has hit your throat. The adrenaline rush begins.
Hmm.
And you can't control this adrenaline rush. I'm actually fighting this in classical guitar performance. I'm scared to death of it. But
that's right. You got a big performance coming up.
I do. But the adrenaline starts to hit you and you cannot control it. You can't just think yourself through it. You can think yourself through it in advance. You can prepare. You can do whatever you want. But once it starts, it's on.
Right.
And it's going.
Well, it's like anything. It's like when we do trials, the first trial is hard. Second trial is hard. Third trial is hard. And it gets a little bit easier and a little bit easier, a little bit easier. It's just like, you hit golf balls in front of people professionally, it gets a little easier.
You can practice it.
But you've never done this.
And you've never done this.
Never been in this unique situation unless you're a pro
now,
that has multiple offenses.
Let's think of the things that you now have to do. You have to find your driver's license. Find your insurance card. Find your registration. All with your heart racing, the adrenaline pumping, and the cop looking at you, knowing full well you had three, not two, or maybe more. He doesn't even care.
Now, keep in mind this song and dance here, they are specifically trained to examine you at this point. Once they smell the alcohol, you're what you're talking about. I'm going to take it one step further and use some buzzwords here. Divided attention.
Divided attention.
Divided attention is going on now. So what they're going to do is all the things that Steve just named, they're going to say, okay, can I see your license? Can I see your registration? And then the next thing comes out. Where are you headed to tonight?
Where are you headed to?
What that is
I'm looking at my wallet.
Two concepts are going on now. So you have to get your license out. You have to get the paperwork.
Wait a minute. Did you say what'd you say? Yep. Where am I going?
Yep. That's what they're training.
Well, I'm just heading home.
Yep.
And then by now, you've forgotten all about your registration.
Well, where are you heading to? And then you'll hear the cops go, hey, you got that license for me?
You got that license for me? And you're like, I thought we were talking about home.
Yeah. That's what it is. That's what they're trained to do.
Can I just go home? So
whether you know it or not, you might think you're just having this conversation. You think you can charm your way out of it. The moment that alcohol he smells that or she smells that, guess what? He's going down a checklist. She's going down a checklist in her head saying, okay, now let's start.
And
it begins.
You are under investigation at this point. You are under investigation. You're being watched and there ain't a damn thing you can do about it. That's just it. Everything you do is being watched and they're trained to look for certain things. So they're trained to look for the why or you're driving and they look for this whole litany of things. We're going to do a NHTSA manual DUI 360.
Yeah. What's NHTSA mean?
National Institute of Traffic Safety or National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. So we're going to do a NHTSA manual thing because it was actually the federal government said, you know what? We're going to get rid of the local yokel, figure it out on your own field sobriety testing.
Yeah.
We're going to standardize.
He looks drunk.
Anyway, the point is the federal government has done some studies theoretically and they have determined that there are certain clues. There are certain things that you will do if you've been drinking more than you admit that you've been drinking that the police can actually look at and quantify and determine from there whether or not you're going to register a result above a legal limit. And that process starts, as you said, after the stop, it's already begun. So they look for the driving. Now, speeding, as it turns out, is not one of those.
Yeah.
So right now,
well, I mean, certainly they could see when your vehicle's in motion and how you stop your car. The same divided attention is applied. Driving is a complex task. And when lights are behind you, you have to do all the same things you were doing. Plus you now have to identify that somebody's trying to pull me over and look for a place to be pulled over. So it's, you're doing two things, but I mean, the manual even says it. And this is the manual that we're talking about, this NHTSA manual that they're trained under. Your first real tip is going to be that initial contact. There are things they can see. If you're driving all over the road, hitting the curb and smashing into things, I had a case one time where the cop basically just followed the debris because there's ruts through yards and banged mailboxes, and they just are driving high speed going, all right, well, they went that way because look at all the debris. You know what I mean? It's like those are things that suggest a drunk driver, but you're really not going to know until you get there and you.
Yeah, you get that
smell there.
You get that alcohol? First whiff. And we've already established it doesn't take much to get that first whiff. So now he knows you're drinking.
If they simply, let's say you get your license out perfectly. You get all the stuff you got to do. You answer their questions. You say, yes, I'm coming from so-and-so bar and I am going to my home. My home is located at da-da-da-da-da and I'm on the right road, but they smell alcohol. Can they get you out of the car?
Yes. Now, just we based back on up. That. Yes. We got to back, hang on, we're out of the car. We got to back up because this is the number one myth. And I bet you certain people, even lawyers might even disagree with me, but I have had hundreds of people ask me this over the years. I did it. Or aren't you supposed to just like barely crack your window?
Oh.
Just barely crack it and slide the old driver's license right out the top.
There's crack. There's all kinds of YouTube videos on this too.
And people are telling people
like
to
hang
do that.
Bags out with your license and stuff.
It's like people are telling people to do this. It's nothing short of ridiculous advice.
It isn't. I've seen it work on occasion.
I've never. How does it work?
Well, I've seen people going through checkpoints saying, am I being detained? They write a letter. And I saw, actually, I think a lawyer from out of the states in another state did this just to try it out. Wasn't under the influence. Just drove through there, had the license hanging on the thing and said, am I being detained? Here's my registration. You'd be happy to look at it. And they're sort of looking at him like you're saying, like, this is insane. Move on. And then I've seen other times where you just crack your window and then you got your window cracked.
Here's the
which
problem.
Is them putting a nightstick through it and removing you from the car because you're failing to comply.
Yeah. Here's the problem with this. This is what I've said. I've tried more cases than I can count. The crime is bad enough. I mean, if you got an eyewitness to the crime, that sucks.
An eyewitness to OVI?
No, any crime.
Oh, okay.
So you got an eyewitness to the crime, that sucks. Crimes on video, that sucks. You later confess. That sucks. All that sucks.
Yeah.
But then if you go home and they catch you hiding evidence and they catch you covering up and they catch you trying to conceal bad behavior after the fact, after you know you've been caught, that's the end. That's the death
right.
knell. That's the Lacey Peterson got caught disposing of the ropes and stuff, whatever it was.
Well, she got found not guilty.
Or not her. No, I'm thinking of the other one. I said Lacey Peterson. Out in California.
She's the one that killed her husband?
Yeah, it was a guy. The guy killed her, killed his wife.
Oh, it wasn't, the last name might have been Peterson too.
It might have been.
I forget his name. I'll look it up.
Anyway, but, it's
no,
15
I understand.
Years
this
ago.
Is like the most basic thing. It's like when your parents tell you, you know what, if you screw up, and heck, you told it to me when I started here. It's like, you screw up, just tell me you screwed up.
Tell
Don't
me.
Cover it up.
No cover ups here.
Don't do the cover up.
Because when you cover it up, guess what? You look guilty. Because guilty people cover up their bad behavior. Now the problem is you've got your window cracked on 315 with this cop who knows exactly what you're trying to do. You're trying to conceal the odor of your breath and slip right. one by on him. And he's going to be like, why don't you put your window down all the way? Now, Sherlock, what are you going to say to him?
It's like, I don't know what the advice
is. I don't want to.
I don't know. Yeah.
Because I don't want to. Some lawyer told me I didn't have to do that.
He's covering his mouth.
See, I don't have to do that. Here's my driver's license. Yeah. Trust me, I'm allowed to drive.
Or you light up three cigarettes until he smells the smoke.
Right. So now you're engaged in a cover-up ab initio.
Scott Peterson.
Yeah, I was right. So.
Yeah.
All right. So now you're engaged in a cover-up, and you're caught engaged in the cover-up. You're screwed. So look at it this way. Here's the best
thing. Well, I mean, you might be.
What if you're a juror, and you're sitting on a case for a drunk driver accused of a crime, and the Columbus police officer gets up on the witness stand and says, yes, as I approached the vehicle, I noticed that Mr. Jones over there did not. I asked him to put his window down all the way, and he did not. He put it down just a little bit, and he tried to slide his driver's license through the very top crack of that window.
Yeah.
And I asked him, why don't you put your window down all the way?
So we can
and
talk.
He said, because I didn't have to. Or he didn't say anything or whatever, right?
He stared straightforward.
Straightforward is at 10 and 2. And I asked him again, sir, why don't you put your window down all the way? And he continued to hold his hands on the steer. I've had this. But he didn't hold his hand. And it gives him the little sideways glance. Yeah. Am I being stopped? Why am I
being
stopped?
Am I being detained? Am I arrested? Am I under arrest?
Well, now you are, jackass, right?
No. So, oh, man. I know.
So you're sitting on a jury and you see that. What's the first thing you think? Because if you're completely innocent, would you do that?
It takes it too far, but I almost want to say in the voir dire, everybody raise their hand who's sovereign here. And sovereign means somebody that thinks of their own state or whatever. It's like, oh, no hands? Ah, shit. Right, this ain't going to work. Because this is basically somebody that's reading a bunch of crap on YouTube saying, well, I have a right to this and right to that. And they hate the man and they hate cops. And they think, I'm going to outsmart them. This is what I'm going to do. This
and I love it.
Outsmart
them. I think it's great.
It's like, you're right. I mean, you look like you're trying to conceal something. And that's fact.
If you don't believe.
There's a concept called consciousness of guilt,
right? So if you don't believe that they should be able to ask you that question, I get it, man. I'm with you. Less government in my world, or less government, the less police, the less all of it in my world, the better. I operate in that every single day. But you're creating evidence that looks really freaking bad in a drunk driving case because you look like you're covering up the fact that you're wasted, that you smell like a freaking brewery, and you don't want the cop to smell it. That's what's going on. So it doesn't take Sherlock Holmes to figure this out, to say, that guy is trying to make it so the cop doesn't smell his breath because he must have had something to drink and doesn't want the police to know it. Bing, 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 bing. Guilty as charged. So what you've done right there is acted differently than you would if you hadn't been drinking.
Yeah.
And everybody knows it.
Right. But there are crazy people out there that just don't.
There are people that
they don't haven't committed any crime, but they don't believe
they don't believe
have to interact.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
That would have to be a concept you would pitch to the jury and you'd probably still lose.
That's a concept you'd pitch to the jury, but I can see that coming up, not in a drunk driving case, but maybe in like a fair to comply type case.
Yeah.
Cause if you're drunk and you do that, you're probably getting convicted.
All right.
Yeah. I'm gonna
micage.
Turn something off. Maybe. I don't know.
No, I agree. I mean, if you find yourself in that situation, it's absolutely not a good, if I'm sitting there as just a Joe Blow, I've been subpoenaed to be here, because I'm on jury duty and I hear that fact, 99% of the public are going to think just that. Why would he not just comply if he didn't have anything to hide?
Yeah.
A long time ago, this was before I became a lawyer. My grandfather, Gordon, I was sitting there having dinner with him and, we were talking about, what I was going to do. And I was in law school and I might even have started here. So I was like, well, do we do criminal defense? And he's just like, whoa, what's that? I'm like, how does that work? And he's like, you defend people that are guilty? I said, sometimes, you know what I mean? And we started talking about the Fourth Amendment and what we're dealing with here, being seized by police or having to show identification to police. And it was a concept to my grandfather that was just foreign. It's like, well, why wouldn't I let the police search my house? Why wouldn't I let them search my car? If they want to, I didn't commit any crimes. Why wouldn't I?
There's so many people who have that same belief.
A lot of jurors are going to come in with that opinion.
And it's so true. So our job as lawyers is to say, wait a minute, that ain't necessarily the case. So you're going to get me talking about gun control real fast. But anyway, we're not going
to
go there.
Well, we'll have to do. I know you and the guns. And
it's not just guns. It's widget control. We're going to talk about widget control. Because if you're going to outlaw widgets – and everybody's got a widget in their house and you're going to make people surrender widgets, then how do you, nobody ever thinks about, okay, now we've got all those widgets that we have created for hundreds of years and people have them. What do we do to make sure everybody gives it up?
Come into their house and check.
Silence. We're going to start looking and searching people's houses. Yeah. And I don't like that.
You don't like that.
I don't like that. You don't like police in my house. I don't like it. I don't like it because I love police officers. I think they're awesome. I think they do a great job. I think they have a difficult job to do and they do it well most of the time. But their job is to go enforce laws that they believe in, sometimes laws that they don't believe in. But I've encountered cases where maybe they believe a little too much in the law or maybe they believe – maybe they're skewed in a way, or they don't see it the other way, or they don't have it. Their job isn't to figure out what laws are being broken or what laws should exist. Their job is to go enforce laws that are there. And if you start if you open up your doors for that and say, well, the Fourth Amendment, these widgets are really important. So we're not going to worry about the Fourth Amendment for the widgets. Now you got a problem because the next time it's not widgets. Maybe the next time it's something else. Maybe the next time the government is saying you can only have two kids, we're going to come in your house and start poking around to make sure.
Wow. What was that book? 1980?
1984, George.
1984.
Yeah. I mean, this is what we're talking about, right?
We're getting there.
You let the government in on a popular issue then you open up through the same highway. They can come in on an issue that later becomes popular, but maybe you don't like. All right. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm off. So
we'll
there you
are. We'll be able to do a gun state of the
you're going to get me all fired up. Anyway,
let's focus on these fields.
You're on the side of the road.
Yeah.
You have listened to this podcast and you have at least learned one thing. Roll your window down when the police come to it and ask you to do it.
Yeah.
One, because it doesn't help. Two, because you have to.
I've heard respected lawyers pitch that I'm not going to name any names, but I know somebody who's talking about that. Just do this with the license and stuff like that. It's like, what is that?
I'll sit and debate them all the time.
What is that going to get you?
I've tried murder cases. I've tried theft cases. I've tried drunk driving cases. I've tried arson. Everything. I've tried them all. Man, I've tried them all, but I've tried a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Cover-ups don't work.
No.
Never works. Anyway, so you.
But there is a cover-up. There is a component of cover-up here that we're going to talk about in a second.
It's an important one, though.
Yeah.
It's an important one. So you have to, there's a check and balance to this.
Yeah.
There's always
That's a good way to put it.
There's always a consequence for the decisions you make. And it just so happens that the consequence for not rolling your window down and or stepping out of the car and the police ask you is to give him or her a reason to smash your window with the billy club and yank you out by force because you have to comply with an order like that. It turns out the police in our society can order you out of a car after a traffic stop.
Right.
Right? Pennsylvania versus Mims. Am I right?
Bottom line. Yeah.
And it's been that way since the 80s. They can do it. And you have to comply. And if you don't, they will comply for you.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've given them a real reason to actually arrest you. So this is what we're trying to avoid is reasons for arrest. So you've put your window down, you've handed them your stuff, and you've gone through the trick questions. And now he says, would you please step out of the car?
Mm-hmm.
What's he looking for?
Well, in the manual, and this is something probably people don't even think about, how you respond to that and how you look getting out of your vehicle is something they're also trained to look for. So one of the ones I probably see the most in that situation is the people that are using the car for stability. So they're getting out of their vehicle and the officer says, usually what they do is they want to see you walk. So when they get you out of the car, they're usually not going to mess much with their door, with your door, because they're going to want you try to get out of the car.
Yep.
And then they're going to say, let's go to the front of my cruiser back here.
Yeah, come
and
back
they usually let them walk in front. So obviously they can get a good view of how they're going to maneuver. And I've certainly seen a number of times the people that use the hand going down the side of the car for stability.
They get a little lean.
Yep. Yep.
And guess what? You're on camera.
Oh yeah.
And everything you say is being recorded and everything
most police departments across the country, which I know Columbus now has at full force, they're using the body cams too.
Body
so
cams.
Now we got you in two angles.
Yeah.
We got what the cop sees and we got what's coming out of his car.
Speaking of cameras, we got to get them on this podcast. I mean, we're going to start doing them vodcast. That's a video podcast.
Video podcast.
Vodcasting.
There's a lot of that going on. I don't think it has to be because then the next step is live.
Which There's no we reason could, we shouldn't be live.
We could do that in a heartbeat. I mean, you might as well be live right now, but, I think that'd be add a nice little component to it, but then we have to care what we look about. Cause sometimes we're shooting this at 4:30 in sweatpants. You know what I mean?
I think I look awesome.
Well, you look good now, but I mean, at the 4:30 times, we're looking a little rough,
but I guess
that's all part of the,
that's the vodcast.
It's all part of the vodcast.
All right. So you're on Canon camera and how you handle yourself here becomes crucial. Now don't get nervous.
Right.
Forget for a second that your wife's at home, your kid's at home, you're just going home, you're on your way home, you didn't make it, now your heart's in your thing.
Ugh.
The adrenaline.
Your phone's probably going off.
Your phone in the car, sir. Yeah. Maybe you have successfully produced the documents requested of you, like the registration and insurance, but your plan this weekend was to really clean out the center console, but you didn't get to it yet. And now you're having trouble with that stuff. And he says, don't worry about it, just step out.
Yeah.
So now you're even more nervous, like, damn it, I didn't get that stuff either. So,
and they're looking for all the stuff too. I mean, not just how stable you look. It's like I've had plenty of people that it's clear as soon as they step out of that car, guess what? They pissed the front of their drawers.
Or you got the little wet spot.
Big wet spot right there. I've seen that a number of times. It
happens a lot. Or now the adrenaline's rushing, your heart's racing.
Right.
And you got to pee.
Oh, for sure. The people that are just like, I really, can I just go pee over here? Like, really?
Right.
And I can't even imagine trying to answer questions in new fields when you got to
pee
hard.
Remember the dude who just did it? He went over and cried.
Just cite me. I got to do it.
So, or you pee yourself. So that's like, so take
it's always, you always want to be like, look, I'm telling you, I need a bathroom. I'm going to pee in my pants here. Don't make it seem like I'm drunk.
You're humiliating.
I'm being clear.
Me. This is an Eighth Amendment problem.
My leg.
This is cruel and unusual punishment. So yeah. You're not being punished. Yeah. Anyway, the
all that stuff's looked for. So
take a leak before you get in the car, yep. Right? It's dangerous anyway. Yep. They say you should be anyway.
See, then you gotta throw into account too. It's like, and we can argue this on the flip side, but it happens a lot. It's a lot of people are choosing footwear to go out in, probably women more than men, that don't are not necessarily
heel,
the best.
Stilettos.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're stepping out of the car. They're going to let them take the shoes off for fields, but now they're having to walk a little distance with these heels on after drinking.
If you're the Britney Spears going clubbing and you got the short skirt, that's another problem. You got to navigate that mess.
Yeah. All right.
Let's say
we've beat that dead horse. It's like, they're going to watch how you do. And now we're in this position. Now we're standing in front of their cruiser. The lights are probably still on. And what's next?
I'm going to perform some field sobriety tests.
Well, they might
ask you to do some tests.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay with you? Sometimes they don't even say that okay with you. No. I'm going to ask you to perform some tests.
What I see a lot too, and I kind of giggle to myself, and I guess I've never really said it out loud, but I've thought it a lot, is they're going to make you feel like it's going to be okay and comfort you a little bit. They're going to be like, hey, no big deal. I'll get you back on the road here. I just want to make sure you're okay to drive.
That's what makes they do that. Yeah. That happens all the time.
So it's like, oh, okay, I got a chance here, you know?
There's an old Rolling Stones song. I'm a Rolling Stones fan. I'm a blues fan. It's actually a blues song that maybe comes before. I can't remember who wrote it, but it's called Spider and the Fly. And it's like, come on, jump in my web. They just sort of coax you right into their little web of DUI arrest land.
Yeah.
And when they tell you as if it's a foregone conclusion that you're going to do field sobriety tests and no big deal, you're jumping right in a web.
Yeah.
You're jumping right. You know what you've done? You've just signed on the dotted line that contract with Michael Jordan. Sure. Yeah, I'll take you on.
Yeah.
I'll take you on, man. I got this. Well, let me tell you something. You don't have it.
Yeah.
You don't have it. You don't have it on the side of the road. Say it's dark with the lights going, a flashlight in your face.
I want to change the analogy because I think this is important. Michael Jordan, I play basketball. I know how to shoot a basketball. You know how to shoot a basketball. I've done that before. I don't say I have a puncher's chance because Michael Jordan, but I know how to dribble a ball and I know how to shoot a ball. This is like playing chess against Bobby Fischer. Well, wait a minute. I play chess too. We have to come up with an analogy because you've never done this.
This is the halftime. You get called out to make 10 foul shots.
In a row.
Right. Yeah, That's what this is. Right. So this is the kid or this is the guy at halftime. And you see it every now and then you see the guy sink it.
Somebody gets lucky and hits the half court shot. Sometimes people get through them.
That's what this is.
Yeah.
This is you got called out at halftime.
Unexpectedly.
Except it's not about what you win. It's about what you lose.
Yeah,
so as soon as you volunteer for the halftime show with thousands of people watching you on TV, it's not about winning the $1 million scholarship. It's about, if you don't do it, you go to jail.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. That's it. That's the analogy.
All right. So they say they want to do field sobriety. What are we doing? Are we breaking these down? Should we do them?
No, we're not going to do all the field sobriety tests right now.
But this is the big three maybe.
Well, here's what we're going to do. The first thing we're going to tell you is, and everybody listen, get your notepads out, get your recording devices out. Here it comes. 3, 2, 1. You don't have to do field sobriety tests in Ohio.
Yeah, but they're going to take my license away for a longer period of time if I say no, right?
3, 2, 1. You don't have to take field sobriety tests in Ohio. You don't have to do it. Now, Jeff just asked a really good question. No, there's no consequence. There's no consequence, legally speaking, for refusing field sobriety tests.
Yeah.
As you recall, in the big question, and it's big because everybody asks it, there is a consequence to refusing a breath test. They can tell you, all right, sorry, Charlie, give me your driver's license. Now you lost it for a year instead of only 90 days. Uh-huh. Yeah. How do you feel about that? Yeah. We're even going to read it to you.
Yeah.
But field sobriety test, if you just say, you know, I'd rather not.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a problem. Here's what I foresee out of this. And this is the question you got to ask yourself. You just stated that if we are doing this just garbage through the door or through the window where you're not giving them who you are, you're telling them who you are, but you don't want them to smell your breath and you're hiding from them, you're concealing things. It's like, we're kind of doing this now because we're concealing doing.
Aren't they going to think I'm guilty if I don't do these tests? Well, that's really what you're saying.
Well, here's what I'm getting at. How many people do you know that have come into this office and said, or anybody that you know in the universe that has said, I don't want to do your field sobriety tests and walked away?
It's not going to happen.
Not going to happen. You're going to be arrested.
But let me tell you. You
have to prepare yourself for that. You buy yourself a better chance of
it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. Here's the deal.
Like normally you get an OVI, you can drive you home.
So here's what you're thinking. Here's what Jeff is bringing up. I just want to go home. It's late. My wife is pissed off.
Yeah.
She's called me and texted me. In fact, that's why I got pulled over. My kids are at home. I just want to go home.
Yeah.
So if I take these tests, you know, I'll probably, I don't know. I'm just going to take the test.
I'm just going to do them. I'm going to be a compliant officer.
Yeah. I'm going to cooperate.
Yeah.
And here's the problem with that. You ain't going home either way.
Probably not.
I don't even say problem. I mean, look, if you haven't been drinking.
I got that half-court shot. There are people that have made that half-court shot.
We've talked to Jared, and somehow he munches through this. But
these are
you're not the droids you're
looking for.
You are not that guy.
Yeah.
You're probably not that guy. And even then, it's like, I'm not going to go there. So you're not that guy. You're not going to make it.
Okay.
You are not going to get through field sobriety tests. And I would venture a guess that a good majority of people would flunk field sobriety tests without drinking.
I agree. Totally.
There's the old, when I was a kid, I've actually told this to jury. It's like, all right, so everybody listen to me real quick. You're driving a bus and you go along, the bus stops on Main Street and it picks up two guys, lets off one girl. Mm-hmm. And then you go up to State Street and the girl got off, but two more guys get on. And then
I was trying to follow this.
You keep going. Yeah. And when they turned around and finally everybody got off the bus that was on there, except who was already there when it started, right? Or some crap like that. All right. Who's the bus driver?
Yeah.
Right. And you're thinking, I don't know. Well, I told you, all right, you're driving a bus, right? So you're the bus driver. Yeah. Now, everybody probably caught that because it was sort of.
Yeah, it was quick.
That's what these field sobriety tests are. You get tricked.
Yeah.
It's designed to divide your attention and make you flunk them. And I'm not saying they're unfair. I'm not saying they are fair. I don't know, but I just know
scientists
this.
And the government says it's fair. And
if
this
the
is
government
accurate,
says so, let's just let them come take our widgets while we're at it. So you've got this, opportunity to sign up for like the hypnotist trick on the stage and be humiliated. Or you could just say no.
Yep.
And knowing full well that, I mean, the consequence is 9 out of 10 times going to be the same. If you have alcohol on your breath and you're trying to conceal it and you've even had half a thought of not putting your window down all the way, you ain't going to pass field sobriety test. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Just not going to happen. And even if it does, they're probably arresting you anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's that.
I can't think of any other time in life when you would be hit with such a test because, I mean, with whoever we're talking about, French or whatever, it's like you're asked probably at your weakest moment. You're rushing home or it's late at night. You worked all day. You maybe had a pint or two or three or way too many. And now you're asked by a professional who's been trained on these tests, been able to get intoxicated himself and do these tests, been able to perform them on intoxicated people in a gymnasium with tennis shoes on in a perfect setting to do such tests. And now you're being asked with cars whizzing by on the side of the road. Maybe it's cold. Maybe it's hot. You're tired. Your eyes are already red because you should be in bed.
Wife pissed
and
off.
Your wife. It's like
going to jail.
It is the losing my worst job. Scenario you are going to find yourself in because it's just like, and it's like you told me a long time ago. It's like you said to yourself, if I'm in that situation, it's like, I'm probably thinking to myself, how am I going to make this better for myself?
Right.
How is this ever going to make it better for me?
Right.
Walking this line putting my foot in the air.
And then they start to explain the test. So you're like, okay, I'll do your test. Then they start to explain them. And this is like, you're the bus driver question. They give you instructions.
And they're very clear to a person sitting there in a perfect situation.
If you've been trained to look for who's driving the bus.
Well, and that's true. Maybe we can't ever be.
I see. Right. We're not fair.
Cause we've heard it 1,000 times.
It's like, you just don't do these things you're going to get tripped up.
Yeah.
If not fall over tripped up, you're going to get tripped up and you're going to make a mistake. So again, I ask. It's a great question. How are you bettering your situation here by doing these field sobriety tests that you know you probably can't pass? Mm-hmm. You ain't. It's getting worse. It's getting worse for you. How's it getting worse? And why are we telling people to do this? Because as you said, everybody's just going to think I'm guilty. Well, I tell you what, you could say, I'm just not comfortable doing this without my attorney present. Well, I'm here to tell you, you don't have a right to an attorney there.
Yeah.
But if you feel like you want one there, you can ask. You're always allowed to ask for a lawyer.
It's a more reasonable action than just having some sovereign citizen type attitude hanging bags out the window or whatever.
Yeah. Or, you know, it's like, who knows? Whatever you say.
And we hear that. Do you it. Know, I don't know if I should take these tests or not. Can I call my attorney?
No, you have no right to call your attorney. Now, guess what? A cop's starting to look like, wait a minute, why shouldn't he be able to call his lawyer? You know, it's like, it's getting a little bit trickier now. Now it's a little bit, you're even in the playing field a little bit.
Evening.
You're leveling the playing field a little bit.
And it'd be interesting to do like a documentary on willing police officers that work a long day. You catch them at the perfect time when they have maybe one pint with their buddy at the bar. They're walking themselves through their house, and then you shine a light in their face, say, "Hey, let's talk about field sobriety testing." It's like, and see how they do, because that's the people they are interacting
with. And they know how to do it. It's funny because as I've admitted many, many times on Lawyer Talk, because we are off the record. I was no stranger to imbibing in spirits, alcohol, beer, whatever I could find. I liked it. Drinking's fun. And I know how to do field sobriety tests. I've not taken the whole class. Yavich did at one point. But I've been through the manual. I've seen enough of this to know how to do them. I can administer. I'm not certified to do it, but I could. And I have practiced them both with alcohol and without alcohol. And it's not impossible to do them while drinking, but it's just not very likely that you're going to pass. And if I put you on the spot, if you're there, it's like, you're not going to pass. And even if you do, they're going to probably still arrest you.
Yeah.
So the only consequence here is you're worried that you might look guilty if you take a field, if you say no to field sobriety tests. Well, I'm here to tell you, how many videotapes do you think we've seen over the years? Thousands?
Probably. Yeah.
How many people look innocent after doing field sobriety tests? It's like every now and then you get one, but
yeah,
it ain't that many.
And it might not even be that they're impaired.
And the reason we're looking at it is because they've been arrested.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
here's what's really going on. Here's the legal talk. Here's the lawyer talk. There is this weird, undefined or virtually undefined concept in our legal system called probable cause. Everybody's heard it. It doesn't mean much as far as definitionally goes, but in order to place somebody under arrest, police have to develop probable cause. They have to say that they had a reasonable belief based on evidence that they observed that this person, they were justified. They had probable cause to arrest this person for whatever it was. And when they ask you, when they start watching your driving, when they start watching how you interact with them, listening what you say to them, asking you to get out of the car, watching you walk down the line and use the car, being unsteady on your feet or whatever, or you got the piss spot on your pants or whatever it is, they're developing criteria, things, a list of stuff they can go tell a court later and said, yeah, I had probable cause to arrest him. And the A number one super thing on top of that list are field sobriety tests.
Mm-hmm.
So just think about it this way. If you have a big bucket and you got to fill that whole bucket up full of things that will first amount to probable cause, you got to fill it up maybe not even halfway. Now you got to get to beyond a reasonable doubt. So you got Jeff Lynn as your lawyer and he's going to court and he's going to be a trial lawyer. And now you got to fill it up to beyond a reasonable doubt. And then they start adding other things like field sobriety tests. All these things add up and fill up that bucket. The less water in the bucket, the better. Less evidence.
That's a basic way to look at it.
Yeah.
It's like, if you don't have to, if you're certainly not going to, say, oh, I had, you caught me. I had 8 beers. I'm too drunk to drive. It's there's people who do that, but it's like, if you are thinking clearly, you don't want to admit those kinds of things.
You don't want to admit those things.
So why give them more evidence to help them convict you?
Are we telling people how to avoid detection of crime? No. You have a right to refuse field sobriety tests.
Yes.
We're telling people that they have a right to refuse a field sobriety test. And I'm offering them the explanation as to why they might choose to exercise that right versus doing a field sobriety test. Because if you have only had the one pint, you are still in risk of flunking that field sobriety test because you happen to have that over the top adrenaline rush going on. Your butterflies have turned into night owls and they're flying around your belly. And your knees are weak and you're thinking you might even pass out because you're so nervous, you ain't going to walk a straight line. You ain't going to hold one leg in the air and count to 30, and you're not going to pass.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't going to happen. You're not going to say the alphabet backwards or forwards or otherwise. You're not going to happen. You're going to screw it up.
Yeah.
And every single thing you do, every single thing you say or walk or do, it's all going to be used against you, and you're giving them evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a real easy remedy. Just say no.
Say no.
Just say no.
Yeah.
You don't have, you can just say no. So
I've even given mitigation on this before where I'm almost frustrated because, you know, I represent somebody that maybe made it to 50, 60. I've had older people that have come in here with first offense OPIs, never been in trouble in their life. You know, they had some wines with a girlfriend or something and they get pulled over and they, now they have an OVI and they comply with everything. Even at their age, they try to do their field sobriety tests. They tell the officer, oh, I've got really bad knees, but I'll try them. You know what I mean? And then the officer certainly, I mean, he may note that they commented on their ailments, but that's not going to be because of the ailments. That's going to be because of the alcohol.
Yeah.
So I'm going to attribute it to alcohol. But what I'll do is, and I've done this in front of a judge before, is like, you know what, judge, you know what the most frustrating thing is I've represented, I can think of one individual that comes to mind. Obviously we won't share any names, but we represented him a number of times and all he does is refuse everything.
Says no
to everything. He'll give his name, but he isn't admitting to anything else. I wasn't drinking tonight, but I smell booze all over you. But you have booze in your hand. Wasn't me. It's like the Shaggy defense. Wasn't me.
Yeah,
I caught her in the shower, but
that's a problem, though. You can't lie to police officers.
I understand.
You can say nothing. You have an absolute 100% constitutional right to remain silent. You can say nothing. How much have you had to drink tonight? Zippity.
All I'm telling you is with this, I'm not advising this. I'm just saying what this dude does. And guess what he gets handed? The first couple he got handed reductions from OVI because they hate him and they don't know why he's doing these. You know, they want him to comply, but they don't have a case. When they get there, they don't have the walk and turn test. They don't have the 9 steps down, 9 steps back. They don't have something that shows in his eyes that he's indicating he's under the influence. They don't have any of that crap. So then they say, here's your physical control. And then I'm sitting there with the 55-year-old who had a pint with his buddy at the bar or 2 pints or had a little bit too much, blew a .1. Barely over the legal limit and is now pleading guilty to OVI. Why? Because he complied with everything.
He did everything.
And so we are punishing the person that was totally compliant, but yet rewarding the person that was listening to lawyer talk. You don't have to take
it. It's so unfair, but that's
what life is.
Yeah, life's not fair.
I kind of got on a little soapbox. I got a little pissed off.
You did. And that's your thing, but it's a point. It's a good point.
Yeah.
So you've got a choice. And I think this might be. Well, let's explain what these tests are. There's actually three of the big ones, the big three.
We're not covering those today, right?
No, we're just here's what they do. The first thing they do is they test your eyes. Well, guess what? You have no control over that. You're either going to pass it or flunk it.
I have people tell me all the time that I passed that test.
I did great on that one. I nailed it.
Really, it's involuntary.
Now you did it. Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? The second one is a walk and turn. The third one being a one leg stand. Uh-huh. None of these things you're going to do well on if you're intoxicated 99% of the time. Even if you're sober, there is a percentage of time you will not do well on because you don't know who the bus driver is. That's the problem.
I can't.
If you don't know who the bus driver is, don't volunteer to answer that question.
Yep.
End of story. Yep. If you don't think you can make 10 out of 10 on the line at halftime at the Chicago Bulls game, well, don't try.
Yeah.
Unless you can only win. Here, you can lose. Here, there's a loss.
And for the non-drinker or the person that had the one and legitimately had the one, Jared brought up a good point. I don't even know if this made the air. It'll make the air at some point, but he had a situation where he just said, I'm not going to do field sobrieties, but I ain't drinking, bud. Give me your breath test. You got a tester in there?
We ain't doing that stuff. Just bring
it's
me
like
the breath
test. Just bring the test. You know, that's the.
And I've done that.
And my wife has said that too. My wife is like, well, I had one. I'm like, hey, you okay to drive? And like, yeah, I literally won. I drank responsibly and now I'm going home. If they stop me, I'll just say, give me the freaking breathalyzer. I'm all good.
I don't know that I would after one. You never know about those things.
If my wife drinks the Pilsners and things like that.
I know too much about the breath testings. But anyway, so here's the thing.
I would.
You
wouldn't take it after one?
Depends on what I drank.
I think.
And when I drank it.
Hmm.
Yeah, mouth alcohol problems don't always get detected.
We got to get somebody. We need to do, when we get these cameras in here, we need to get somebody in here that can either, you know what? I'm going to go on eBay. I'm going to buy one of those PBTs.
Yeah.
And we're going to, I know those aren't as accurate as a breathalyzer that you
see. Let's just buy a full blown breathalyzer.
We should.
We can get the, we don't have to get the
Intoxicizer
20 million. We can
Can Datamaster sponsor our show and give us a free Datamaster?
Datamaster, are you listening?
If you're listening.
And I want the source code, by the way.
You got to explain joke. Why you want that.
Yeah, so there's this big joke about trying to get, anyway.
Yeah.
The thing is that you have very few.
I would just get it. Before you go too far, I would say, and we'll have to test this theory, but I would say if you drink a 12 ounce bottle of what we just mentioned, even an IPA, two-hearted, 12 ounce bottle of two-hearted beer, I say you're under 0.08 all day long.
Maybe.
And the reason I believe this so strongly is we don't get the luxury some of these prosecutors get. We have prosecutors that are friends and they kick around. They're like, yeah, I've been able to do this before. I've been able to drink. Yeah. I've been able to do it in a controlled setting where wait time.
Here's the problem though.
And they said when they got to 0.08, they felt they're feeling pretty good.
Yeah. Here's the thing though. It's like nobody's the same as the next guy.
Well,
there's categories.
If you weigh 100 pounds, it might be different.
It's like I always felt. Look, if you have a big tolerance, it screws up how good you feel, how bad.
Well,
you
feel. That's a problem too.
And if you drink them fast or slow, or I'm a firm believer. I'm not a scientist, but I'm a firm believer. It sometimes just hits you better.
Oh, at different times.
It hits you harder. Yeah.
Sometimes I had this happen the other day. I had this exact thing happen to me the other day. So what happened to me was I had this. I don't even want to go into that, but I had a friend that passed away tragically, and we were all out, you know, sort of remembering him, and I had one beer. Steve had one beer and I don't know what it was, but I told my wife, I was like, I don't feel good. You know what I mean? I had one drink. It's funny you bring that up because it does hit you at different times than you've had back in your drinking days. We've all had those times where it's like, holy crap, look how many beers I drank at this Ohio State game. And it's like, I held this level playing field of just.
Yeah,
buzzed,
all
but not
day long,
wasted,
man.
But who knows where you are on the BAC
it's
scale.
Probably
2-something.
1-8, 2, who knows? Yeah. So here's the thing. You have very few options if you are being investigated for criminal activity, or in this case, pseudo-criminal activity, traffic-related activity that you're going to go to jail for. Understand what they are and at least exercise the little ones.
Yeah.
Use what you're, or exercise the few rights that you have. You don't have to tell them anything. They ask you, don't lie about how much you had to drink. Just say nothing. I don't want to answer any questions until I have a lawyer present. Are they going to think that you're concealing the fact that you're drunk? You bet your ass they are, but they can't use that against you.
Yeah.
You're exercising your right to a lawyer. You're using an attorney. You just want to get some input. Say stuff like that and you're going to be fine. And then when it comes down to it, if they say, hey, do you mind taking some field sobriety tests? Like, yeah, I do mind. I'm not going to take any tests. I'm not going to do it.
No.
And then we'll deal with that later because at least I will take the appearance of concealment in that situation every time over all the bad evidence that they're going to develop if you actually go through it. So it's a balancing test.
And it doesn't take much to fail. We'll go into that in another episode, but it doesn't.
We're going to do it. I'm going to get videos. We're going to put the videos up on a thing. We're going to come up with some. We need a techie, somebody techie to help us out, but we're going to figure it out. So this is Lawyer Talk, Sunny Day Friday lesson on DUI 360. We are Lawyer Talk. Anything last point? We always make one last point in the middle of this.
Well, I think we followed this pretty well along the way. If you're tuning in to hear more about field sobriety, so now we're out of the car. We've refused, but what happens when you don't refuse? That's what's coming next, right?
Yeah, we're gonna.
What happens
talk
when
about
you say I'm gonna walk through this stuff?
And we gotta
shout you out because you are playing live in front of a bunch of people for 20 minutes on a guitar on Saturday.
20 minutes on Sunday. A guitar on Sunday.
Whoa, nervous?
Scared to death. I'm sort of nervous. Yeah.
You played in here. You sound pretty good.
It sounds good. Yeah.
This is like the field sobriety situation.
This is field sobriety, right?
It's like you may even know how to do them. Maybe you've been a pro. Maybe you've done it twice on the side of the road with a flashlight in your face. But when the pressure's on, can you do it?
Yeah. You get a fine-tuned instrument like your body or a classical guitar, and it exposes all of it.
Mm-hmm.
You are completely naked and exposed when you're on the side of the road doing field sobriety tests, just like you're completely naked and exposed when you're standing in front of people playing. I mean, we're not talking about rocking the blues with distortion and
rock. That's classical guitar. Yeah.
Talking classical guitar where you got your fingers and you got picks and you got your fingernails making all the noise. I mean,
do you just get the guitar out and strum a little bit for the mic?
We'll do that after Sunday. So this is it. This is Lawyer Talk off the record, but on the air talking about field sobriety testing until now.